We are in our Jesus Said series, and today we're going to look at the Holy Spirit. I haven't preached on the Holy Spirit for a few years, and I was looking back in my sermon schedule and was checking that out. But before we do, I want to remind you that the red letters are the direct quotes from Jesus. We study a primary source, the Bible. There is power in the red letters. In John 14 through 16, we are in this moment of the Holy Week from Thursday night, when Jesus, after the Last Supper, to going to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is giving his final discourse, John 14 through 16. These are Jesus's last words. I've been with some people and remember their last words and their last breaths. Different times in ministry, I've been in those situations. Have you ever been in a situation where you discovered the power was already there and you just didn't know it? Ever been in one of those situations? I have a rental, I'd sold it a while back, but I'd installed a brand new dishwasher, and about a month or two after the folks moved in, the dishwasher wasn't working. So I went over immediately and tried to fix it, tried to figure it out. I just couldn't. So I had to call an appliance man, a repairman. I felt like a failure. Get this. You know what he did? He checked it all out, and then he flipped the light switch that controlled the power. And lo and behold, it worked. That cost me $100. I'll never forget it. How about energy drinks? Any of you a fellow abuser of energy drinks? Now, mine's caffeine. But do you remember the first energy drink, Red Bull? Do you remember that? I had some young people in youth group that were into Red Bull, and they didn't need to. I've known some little old ladies, can I say that, little old ladies, that would chug four or five energy drinks, or one of those, what do they call them, five-hour energies? They'd take four or five in a day. I'm talking crazy. Trying to get some power. If you're doing that like I'm doing that, trying to wean myself off a little bit from caffeine, just know that that's an indicator of stress in your life. Because it is in mine, and I've had to acknowledge it and actually, you know, think about it and really understand it. But we're trying to get energy when we don't feel like we have any, if you get me. Now, Jesus is talking to the apostles, and he's going to tell them how to plug into the power that we've all been looking for, that the energy drinks just won't deliver. And understand this, the power has always been there. It's always been there. And the question this morning I want to ask you is, are you connected to the power? Are you connected to the power? Now, this is fascinating to me, and I never really thought about this before, but Jesus mentions the Holy Spirit for the first time in John 14. This is as he's walking to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's going to be crucified the next day on Good Friday. It's unbelievable. But now you bring up the Holy Spirit. In John 14 and 16, Jesus tells us who the Holy Spirit is and what he does and what he says and how he works. And Jesus, if you remember a few weeks ago, I preached the second sermon in the series. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And Jesus is saying for us as branches to stay connected to him, to stay connected to the vine. And that's where the power in a Christian life comes from. It's from being connected in the vine through the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I want you to know, many people are confused about the Holy Spirit. They are. I've studied for the last 40 plus years, even before I went to Bible college, because we kind of had a controversy in our family. And we know what to do with the Father and the Son, but what do we do with the Spirit? What do we do with the Holy Spirit? And many times, if you're a first timer or if you're checking us out online this morning, you're joining us for the first time because you saw some really cool TikToks or Facebook posts. Somebody asked me about them this morning, and I said, I don't do anything with them. I mean, they have music accompanying them, and they got quotes, and it's kind of got a tag. It's awesome. It really is awesome. I looked at CJ, one of the ministers asked us at a minister's meeting, and I said, wouldn't it be great while I was preaching, and I was into it, that a little music would arise, and there was some cool stuff, special effects. Just doesn't happen. I said, that's cooler than what I am. I'm not that cool. But isn't it amazing? But anyway, and so you might be joining us online this morning, and you might be wondering, what kind of church are you? And if you watch us, some of us raise our hands, so you might think we're charismatic, preach from the Word of God. You might think we're conservative Presbyterian. Some of you know that we baptize, dunk them in the pool, and we're big on baptism. We might think we're a Baptist. We might be a Baptist, Presbyterian. I don't know what we are. But it's not about the denominational affiliation as much as it is about a reflection of the Trinity of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are really about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, which represent the Word of God, God the Father, the mission of God, the Son, who came to earth to die for our sins, we're going to celebrate next weekend, and the movement of God, the Holy Spirit of God. That's who we are. That's what we're about. And in Acts chapter 19, if you're confused about the Holy Spirit, some people didn't even know about him. Paul goes to Ephesus, and he said to them, this is Paul, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we haven't even heard of that there is a Holy Spirit. Because they'd been baptized with the baptism of John the Baptist. But they didn't know about the baptism of Jesus, but they were believers. And so they received the Holy Spirit. They were baptized into Christ, and they received the Holy Spirit that day. Now, understand this, that the Holy Spirit is mentioned over 800 times throughout the Scriptures. 800 times. That's pretty important. Now, let me just say this. If you're a little confused about the Holy Spirit, I get it. Here's some reasons you may have for being confused about the Holy Spirit. A couple. Seems like a lot of health and wellness and prosperity gospel preachers, speakers, talk about the Holy Spirit. They speak about the Holy Spirit. And number two, the people you know who speak about the Holy Spirit seem weird to you. They just do. They're like, man, you're a little sketchy and a little scary. I'm not sure about you. And sometimes you run into that. Now, those are false perceptions of the Holy Spirit and the Trinity. And we need to know. You really need to know. And when we read the Old Testament, God the Father is mean and cranky. That's what we think. When we read the New Testament, God the Son, Jesus is the nice, gracious one, and the Holy Spirit is the weird one. That's what we think. But here's what Jesus says. In John 14, 15, 16, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. The word helper also means advocate here. One that supports you, defends you. Now, he says, here's another advocate. So who would be the first advocate? This is an easy one. I'm softballing this to you. Who's the first advocate? Say it a little louder. You're right. It's okay to say Jesus around here. It's Jesus. Jesus is at the right hand of God, the Father, advocating, mediating between us and God. We pray in Jesus' name. Our prayers have power through Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth and is our advocate as well. He's our advocate. In verse 17 of this passage, it says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus is prophesying. Now, the Holy Spirit was around them. Sometimes it indwelt special people in the Old Testament, but it didn't reside in believers like it does today. And I want you to notice the pronouns in this passage. Notice pronouns. The Holy Spirit is not a force like the Force in Star Wars or a thing. He is a person with an identity. He is a he, not an it. If you've been operating with the Holy Spirit like it's an it, you don't understand the Holy Spirit. It's a he. He's a person of the Holy Trinity. In John 16:7, Jesus goes on in this discourse, and he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." Now, why would it be to our advantage for Jesus to go away? Honestly, if I thought about it very much, maybe you're thinking about it, I would rather be with Jesus. It'd be like touring with the Beatles. I would have rather been there with him. I mean, if you're with Jesus, you got a question, say, "Hey, Jesus, you know the answer?" Yeah, he answers it. Jesus would answer. No Google, you can't get him on your phone. Yeah, got Jesus. Jesus will Google. Jesus knows everything. Need food, Chick-fil-A's closed on Sunday, Jesus would make it. He got it all. Your dog dies, Jesus would resurrect it. But if your cat died, you're out of luck. I'm just teasing. If you cat people, don't hate me too much. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, the word for the Holy Spirit is ruach. And it means a violent exhalation as you breathe out. In the New Testament, Holy Spirit means pneuma, wind, current of fire, a blast of air. It would be like this. That would be the Holy Spirit. That's kind of what that would be like. The New Testament, pneuma, Old Testament, ruach. You can't see where the wind blows, but you can feel its effects. And the same is true of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says there is a breath, a blast of air, the person of the Trinity who wants to be in you, inside of you, live in you. And he says, and it would be better if I go away, because if I don't, then the Holy Spirit won't come to be in you. How can it be better? How can it be better? Jesus, when Jesus was on earth, he was fully God and fully man in human form. He could be beside only one person at a time. The Holy Spirit can be inside every Christian, everywhere, helping everyone. That's the difference. The term in the Greek is parakletos, which we translate paraclete, one who helps by consoling, encouraging, or mediating on behalf of. He's a helper, he's an encourager, he's a mediator. That is what he is to be to you. The word advocate comes from the word paraclete, which means helper. It's just that simple. He's our helper. It's made up of two Greek words, para, which means to come alongside of, and kletos, which means to come. Jesus is saying the Spirit of God comes alongside of you. He is our advocate, he's our helper, he's our intercessor. He's our comforter. He's our prompter. Do you have someone in your life who is your greatest fan? You have anybody that's the greatest fan, like your cheerleader? Yesterday, I was talking to someone who's, Dan. He said, "Let Dan know that I am his fan." And Dan showed up, and I said, "Dan, you need to go talk to him and take care of him." And he's the same young man that who said, "I don't know if I'll have a ride to church today, but if I have to, I'll walk to church." And I don't think he had to walk. He's got a whole row with him today. But don't we need some people that are our fans? I had some cheerleaders. I had some people that just loved me, that treated me better than I deserved. You have people like that? That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit advocates for you, champions you, and cheers you on. He is on your side. He believes in you more than you believe in yourself. That's the Holy Spirit of God. He is for you. He is for you. Look at verse 13. So when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. If you're online today, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. The Holy Spirit is mentioned 59 times in the book of Acts, 38 times he's speaking. Right now he continues to speak, and he wants to speak to you. The question is, how do I turn down the other noise in your life my life so that you can hear him. How do you turn that noise down? Because the Holy Spirit has spoken, the Holy Spirit is speaking, the Holy Spirit will speak. But get this, the Holy Spirit is not speaking on his own. He is discerning the truth of what God has said in his word. The Holy Spirit helps us understand all truth. In Matthew 24, Jesus says this, and Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will lead many astray." There's a lot of disinformation, a lot of false teaching. And who would be the author of that? It would be Satan. Exactly. Why do we need the Holy Spirit to lead us into truth? Because there is a force that is against you, against us, against the kingdom of God. It's Satan. The Spirit helps you know what to say. Sometimes you're perplexed. Sometimes I don't know what to say. And I pray and I pray and I pray and ask the Spirit to help me to speak, to know what to say. And then there's other times when the Spirit helps you know what not to say, where you're checked and you want to unload and tell people what you really think. And you think, that's not a good idea. That won't really help. Maybe that's the Holy Spirit pulling you back and saying, that's not what I need to say today. The Holy Spirit helps by convicting you when you need it most. Sometimes when you're checked in your spirit and you're going the wrong way and he stops you, that's him. In verse 8 of this passage says, "And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." Sin, righteousness, and judgment. And understand this. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Just because you're feeling conviction, that you feel some guilt, that's not wrong. That's good. You're not being condemned. God loves you. He's forgiven you. You just need to repent. That's what he's calling you to. He's convicting you of things. And then verse 9, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. They don't believe in him. Are you trusting Jesus? Are you taking Jesus at his word? You see, there's a connection between the Old Testament law and the first time the Holy Spirit came with power on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. I find this fascinating as I was studying. What was the day of Pentecost? What was the day of Pentecost? Remember, Pentecost was a Jewish feast. Pentecost means, in the Greek, 50, which was 50 days after Passover. Shavuot is another term. It's Hebrew for weeks, and it was 7 weeks. Shavuot. They celebrated, and it was a day of celebration of the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. Remember that day, the day Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, and he threw them down, and they were worshiping the golden calf and the whole mess, and 3,000 people died because they were worshiping, and it was just chaos. It was chaos. But in this moment, God is intentionally connecting the giving of the law that convicts of sin with the presence of the Holy Spirit that also convicts of sin. Isn't that fascinating? And here's some parallels. At the giving of the law, this occurred on Mount Sinai. There was this kind of fire and light show and smoke, and people trembled, and they wouldn't go up to the mountain because they were afraid that they would die, but only Moses went up with Joshua to receive the law. Remember that, the Ten Commandments? And on the day of Pentecost, there was a mighty rushing wind. There were cloves of tongues of fire on top of their head. They spoke in different tongues. And guess how many got saved on the day of Pentecost? Anybody can guess? 3,000. Isn't God cool? Making a point. We don't want to miss it. That the Holy Spirit came with power to convict. He's given us an encourager, a mediator. Puritans say it this way, "Till sin be bitter, Christ be not sweet. Till sin be bitter, Christ be not sweet." When you sin, does it bother you? Or have you grown so accustomed and callous that it no longer convicts you? See, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He is speaking, he is prompting, he is convicting. And when you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, it's like learning to perceive his speech pattern. It's like learning a new language. It is like when you get to know someone, understand, and communicate with greater and greater clarity. You have relationships like that? That's how the Holy Spirit works. But the opposite is true. If you don't talk to the Holy Spirit or hear him, it may be because your heart has become like stone. The noise is too loud. Understand this, when we see that we are great sinners, that's when we see that he is a great Savior. No one ever just decided one day to follow Jesus. You didn't do it. I didn't do it. Because you were dead in your sins, like Ephesians 2 says. Dead people don't respond, do they? What happens is you are dead in your sin and the Spirit of God is chasing you down. The Spirit of God is wooing you. The Spirit of God is prompting you from the outside of you. And we try to ignore him by saying it's our conscience. No, no. It's the Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings you to this place of conviction when you recognize that there isn't any amount of work that you can do to save yourself. We can't do it. Now, first service missed this morning, and I'm going to give you a chance to. This is a trick question. What is it? It is a trick question. Are we saved by works? Yes or no? You're wrong. I told you it was a trick question. We are saved by the work of Jesus on the cross. Amen? Okay. Guys, come on. I'm teasing. We're saved by grace through faith, not on our own. But Jesus did the work. That was the work that was to be done. Now, I had a few people over the last few years, just before Easter, they always say this. I mean, the pressure's on. They say, Chris, I need you to show up on Easter. I need you to preach it like you've never preached it before because I've got this relative, aunt, uncle, ne'er-do-good, I don't know, scoundrel coming to church with me, and you need to bring down, man, because that's the only thing that's going to save him. They say things like that. And I feel a little pressure. You got to bring it on Easter. I know that. But I would have you pray, if you're praying for anyone that's lost or far away from God, pray this, with your face on the floor, begging God, God, would you hound them? Holy Spirit, please convict them and prompt them, because that's what is going to happen. It's going to be a move of God. It's not Chris. It's a move of God by the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit convicts you for the need of a Savior. You respond to that. The Holy Spirit enters in. Now, here's what the Spirit does post-conversion. Once you receive him, he reminds you regularly of your right standing with God. He reminds you of who you are. Notice in verse 10, he says, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. The Holy Spirit is reminding you of how you are a valued son or daughter of the King, and you have right standing with God. The Holy Spirit helps you to see God rightly. He also helps you see yourself rightly. You are a part of the redeemed, saved by the blood, chosen, holy priesthood. That is who you are. That is who we are in Christ. And then Jesus goes on in verse 11, and he says, concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I think it's so important. The Holy Spirit comes and helps us to know that Satan, who is an accuser and a deceiver, has had all of his authority stripped away. Satan has no authority over you as a Christian. You are in Christ. Satan has already been judged. No authority. And if the Holy Spirit lives in you, then you are no longer under Satan's authority. He reigns. Jesus reigns in your life. And you might be thinking, this all sounds great, but I am still uncomfortable because of all the people I run into who talk about the Holy Spirit are just so weird. And I get that. But understand this. Please understand this. They would be weird anyway. They're just weird. Don't associate the Holy Spirit with weird people. Now, let me ask you this question. Who would want you to be skeptical about the Holy Spirit? Satan. Right. Every time there is a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there are two groups of people. Number one, those who experience and receive him, and those who reject him and mock him. People who mock him have never experienced him and maybe never will, unless the Holy Spirit does a redeeming work on them. F. Dale Bruner says it this way: the Spirit withdraws from sight and points to Jesus. Notice him, listen to him, pay attention to him, fall in love with him, be preoccupied with him. He points us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit, A.W. Tozer, great theologian, says the Holy Spirit wants to be wanted, and he points to Jesus. I've always wondered, you know, when I go to heaven, I mean, I'm looking forward to meeting some Old Testament heroes. Adam, Moses, Elijah, Elisha, particularly Joseph and Daniel and Joshua. I'm looking forward to that. And I want to ask them, you know, what was it like to be used of God? Wasn't it wild and crazy? Parting the Red Sea, crossing the Jordan on dry land, the 10 plagues, Daniel, lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, why weren't you with them in the fiery furnace? I got all kinds of questions. What was it like? But you know, I bet they will say to you, what was it like to have the Spirit of God in you? What was it like to have the Spirit of God speaking through you? What was it like to have the Spirit of God guiding you into all truth? Because they didn't have that. It was on them. It was different. Many are not going to be able to tell them because right now you are disconnected from the power source that has been there all along. He's there. Now, some of you feel all alone in your life. But there is one who is alongside of you and within you that never leaves you alone. And I would encourage you to start out your day. Hey, Holy Spirit, I've got a big day. I did that today. Caffeine is going to give me a boost, but I need your power. Would you just fill me up? I need you. Or maybe, Holy Spirit, would you please fill me and give me the words to speak? Would you please give me the discipline to know that I don't need to say everything that I am thinking? Holy Spirit, will you do your work in me? Will you please stand as I pray? Eternal God and Father, we are grateful for this time. And Father, we count on the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the work that he does. And Father, I thank you that he's a person that we can talk to and be a part of our lives. Father, I thank you that he guides us into truth and he protects us from the deceiver and he helps us to discern. Father, I thank you that he checks us in what we say and what we don't say. The Father, we have someone that is for us all the time and an encourager, an intercessor, a comforter, and that he's real and that we're never alone. Father, we would like to spend some time with Jesus, but we're thankful the Holy Spirit can be everywhere all the time, wherever we are, all over the world, doing great things for you and pointing us to Jesus. We so thank you. And Father, this morning, I just ask your Holy Spirit to do his work in us, in our congregation, in each individual. Whatever he needs to do, Lord. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.